May be seated. The Advent wreath is a circle with no beginning and no end. It is a symbol of God's unending love and faithfulness. No matter how many times we fall short or miss the mark, God stands ready to welcome us home with unfailing love. Confident in that grace so freely given, let us humbly confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, always with us.
The light shines in the night, and the night cannot overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world, full of grace and truth. Friends, believe the good news. We are forgiven. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Turn to one another and offer a sign of Christ's peace.
Welcome, welcome to one and all, young and old, saint and sinner, believer and doubter. Welcome to first time visitor and to old friends of Old South. Welcome to the confirmation class of Tewksbury Congregational Church. Church, we have been waiting for you. It is warm inside, the greens are hung, the table is set, there is plenty of room for all. Would that Mary and Joseph had heard such a greeting when they sought shelter in an inn. It is in part because they did not, because there was no room for them in the inn in Bethlehem, because they were turned away, denied entry, that we work so hard to make room for all in this shelter house. So in the name of our host, Jesus Christ, welcome to Old South Church in Boston. Welcome to this first Sunday of Advent. Help us to provide an especially warm welcome by letting us know who you are. If you would, take a moment to sign the black friendship pad. There should be one at the aisle end of every pew. If you write enough, we will write you back, if we can read your writing. In the white insert, you will find announcements about education, worship, fellowship, and mission opportunities in this holy season at Old South. Many and various offerings, an amazing Christmas craft fair next Saturday, great place to do your Christmas shopping. Advent through the arts series, children's Christmas pageant, handbell concert, alternative Christmas giving, and more. Today, we begin our Advent preaching series, A Christian Response to a Season of Strife. Perhaps a reminder that while the world has never been safe, while the infant Jesus arrived to a world of terror and anguish, in his name, Christians do more than muddle through in a state of constant fear. We are emboldened by God to live with confidence and courage. So if you want some of that, a dose of confidence, a pinch of courage, welcome to Old South Church. Welcome to God's house. Welcome to worship. Welcome home.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter, starting at the 36th verse. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only God. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they do nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the Son of Man will be like that. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. So keep awake, for you do not know of what day our Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would stay awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the people.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our hearts and minds to your word, hope that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sleep is good. Amen.
Amen.
It feels good to sleep. To sleep in, to sleep well, to sleep deeply. There's just something about sleep. For these human bodies of ours, there is a necessity about it. When we sleep and sleep well, our bodies rest and recharge. So much happens in our bodies while we sleep. In fact, scientists are just now beginning to understand how crucial sleep is to the human condition. It turns out most muscle growth and tissue repair occurs while our bodies sleep. Even more important, we know our immune systems replenish as we sleep. Well-rested bodies, we are told, equal well-rested minds that are confident, healthy, balanced, and strong. It's said we spend a third of our lives sleeping. Maybe some of us do a little bit more than that. And it's a good thing because lack of sleep can be dangerous. It leads quicker to death than lack of food. Sleep is the single most important resource for our body next to clean air to breathe. Sleep and rest are so important that God gave us a commandment about it. In fact, I suspect some of you are taking that commandment a little bit too literally. I see some of you prepared to drift off to sleep this morning. But yes, sleep is good. We need it. Sleep too much, though, Jesus says, sleep at the wrong time, and you might just miss God. Jesus tells us that God's coming is going to be like the flood of Noah. You will carry on in your daily lives, going on in your daily routine, asleep to this world like those living at the time of Noah. And when you aren't paying attention, God is going to come in and sweep it all away. No one knows the day or the hour, but like rains before the great flood, with wrath and power and awe, God is going to come. Merry Christmas. Jesus' words this morning are more fear and trembling than comfort and joy. It is more sadness and terror than merry and bright. It's not quite the story we have gathered here this morning to hear on the first Sunday of Advent. We so desperately want to start at the beginning with Mary, with round, joyful, pregnant Mary, or angels echoing in reply, or the Magi preparing to gather, but instead, we start close to the end. Jesus is on his final journey to Jerusalem. He is approaching his final days before his death, and he knows it. In those days, the Roman occupation of Jerusalem had reached a fever pitch. The air in the ancient city was thick with tensions. Emotions were heightened this time of year because of the Passover. Pilgrims from all around the world were filling the city, and the authorities were nervous as the population, the oppressed population, swelled to capacity. And Jesus, ever more known to those in authority, he too made them a little bit nervous. He appeared to be the leader of a growing movement that threatened those who held the power. So his followers energized, ready to bring this movement right to the thick of it, right to Jerusalem, to the capital, with renewed hope that the Romans would fall, that the status quo would collapse, and that their leader, a new king, would ascend the throne. And so they wait for a game plan. But Jesus does what Jesus does best. He does something really uncomfortable and unexpected. He tells them, run for your lives. Run for the hills, prepare to escape Jerusalem, because soon all things will come to a head. The Romans will sweep in. They will destroy the city. They will even bring down the great temple. Nation will rise against nation. The sun will lose its shine, the moon its light. Stars will fall. The earth will tremble. All will mourn as the Son of Man comes to earth on clouds of heaven. And so they want to know, and who could blame them? The disciples want to know, when is this going to happen? And Jesus says, no one knows. No one knows the day or the hours, not the angels, not me, only God. So keep awake. Worsening oppression, deepening divisions, rumors of war, religious strife, crumbling institutions, the world in which Jesus and his followers lived ached for a new kind of existence. They longed for closure, for a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation when the last would be made first, the least made most, the oppressed ready to breathe again. The world in which Jesus and his followers lived longed for a God to bring their pain-filled, disordered, broken world to a close. Apocalyptic imagery, like in our gospel this morning, end time explanations in the Bible, scholars tell us that they have long been understood as addressed to people who are suffering from oppression. Those big, scary images were to give hope that things are going to change, and change suddenly and dramatically, because God is on their side and hope is on the way. But this is different in this morning's scripture, because Jesus' audience here seems less oppressed than they do tired. For whether they are persecuted or privileged, they have reached the point that they no longer believe anything about this world is going to change. They assume that today and tomorrow will be exactly like yesterday, and after days, months, years of such scaled back expectations, they are getting tired, hopeless. Nothing will change. I don't know about you, but I feel tired. I don't mean tired physically, but tired emotionally. Absolutely exhausted with the state of our world. Another mass shooting, another broken peace treaty, more drama from Washington, dissolving norms, collapsing order. I have to confess that there are more days than not where I am feeling tired and hopeless, sleepy. And so I have found it easier, maybe you have too, to just turn it all off, to change the channel away from the evening news, to silence and block all push alerts from my phone and my email, to steer clear from social media, anything and everything, to close my eyes to the state of the world. I've gone back to sleep. I've pulled the cover over my head, safe and warm from the ills facing this world, and without the constant alert of breaking news, I have fallen deeper into sleep, and it feels good. But along comes Advent. Advent with its stories of trembling earth and darkening sun. Advent comes along each year, sounding like a clanging gong. An alarm, a trumpet sounding in our ears. One theologian calls it the church wake-up call. Jesus gives those sleepy, hopeless disciples, he gives us an image of what will come that is more than what we can wrap our heads around. Those frightening, bold, beautiful glimpses of God coming into the world and a commandment. Jesus says, I know you're tired. I know you're hopeless. But keep awake. Jesus tells them not to sit around and wait as if God alone is going to take care of this world, but to wake up to the world, to stay awake, and to get to work. The Nazis were already on their rise to power when a young Alfred Delp entered seminary. He could see where the Third Reich was headed, and he was troubled, as his journal points out, he was troubled, as many of his fellow Germans, he felt, were asleep. So once ordained, Delp joined a resistance group, an underground movement that sought to undermine the theology that was supporting the Nazi government. Because of that, and his writing and his preaching, it landed him in prison, sentenced to death for treason. In the last weeks of Delp's life, kept in a darkened prison cell, he reflected and wrote almost exclusively on the season of Advent and its meaning for us modern Christians. And here's what Delp had to say. There is perhaps nothing we modern people need more than to be genuinely shaken up. Many of the things that are happening today would never have happened if we had been living in that movement and disquiet of heart, which results when we are faced with our God, and when we look clearly at the things as they really are. Here's the message of Advent, Delp wrote. Faced with him who is the last, the world will begin to shake. It is time to awaken from sleep. It is time to wake up to begin somewhere. The great question to us is whether we are still capable of being shocked, or whether it is to remain so that we see thousands of things and know that they should not be and must not be, and we get hardened to them. How many things have we become used to in the course of the years, of the weeks and months, so that we stand unshocked, unstirred, inwardly unmoved? Advent is a time of being deeply shaken, so that humanity will one day wake up to themselves. Alfred Delp is right. The season of Advent is about waking up to this world, but more so, and this is hard, it's about keeping awake to this world. Keeping awake in such a way that we see what should not be and must not be. And keeping awake is hard because it often means paying attention to the difficult stuff about our life. To keep awake in this sense is to stare the breaking news, the drama, and the shadows head on. Keeping awake means opening our eyes anew to the children still in cages at the border and crying out that it should not be and must not be. Keeping awake means keeping our eyes open to the rising sea and the changing climate and the collapse of reason and urgency, and shouting out that this should not be and must not be. Keeping awake means paying close attention to the plight of Syrians living with daily bullets and bombs, or to our own nation's children who learn active shooter drills before their ABCs, and praying out loud, this should not be and must not be. The task for those of us who live in these fearful times is to pay attention, to be watchful, to keep doing that which our God has entrusted us with doing, and to keep ourselves from becoming numb. To stay awake, Jesus says. To not let mind-bending violence or heart-wrenching news lull us into a trance so that we fall asleep and are swept away like in the flood. I am coming to do a new thing, our God tells us, but until then, keep awake. Keep at it. And that, good Christian people, that's the entire message of the season of Advent, and I am willing to stake my salvation. That is the entire message of this Christian life. To shake ourselves, to wake up, to not fall asleep in hopelessness, but stay rooted and alert and awake in God's ache for justice. Suspecting his own death to be imminent, Delp wrote these words: if we want to transform our world again, If Advent is truly to come again, then the great question for us is whether we come out of these convulsions with the determination, yes, arise. It's time to awaken from our sleep. It's time for each of us to go to work. So rest up, take your nap, and get your beauty sleep. But wake up. Wake up, God's people, because God is coming, and there is a lot of work us Christians have to do. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may be seated. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go fast, go together. As we move into this season of being awake, this season of Advent, let the season that evokes love and embodies the spirit of giving, let us be reminded today as we give communally of the greater reach we are able to have when we do things together. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning.
God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. Covenant God, in the beginning, you called your creation good. You flooded it with beauty and bounty, with goodness and grace. In the days of Noah, you drowned your creation to wash away sin and to draw your own children to yourself. Through our covenant with Israel, your promises flow to all nations. And in Jesus Christ, you drew us out of our waywardness into the relentless flood of your mercy. His death was the drowning of our sin. His resurrection and ascension bless all nations to stream toward you in glory. And so with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we raise our voices in song. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus himself has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, let us be glad in this bread of the dark earth, and in the sweet juice of the grape born of light and soil, that in bread and cup, Jesus Christ gives us a true pledge of solace for our pain, forgiveness for our sins, comfort for our fears, and the very joy that we shall rise at our death in the presence of angels and before our God, the Almighty and Holy One, who made heaven and earth and who made you. At this table before this gift, let us be glad and heartily rejoice and praise God forever and ever. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and cup, and make them for us a meal of thanksgiving and communion. Amen. At this table, we remember Jesus, who at supper with his disciples gave thanks and broke bread and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup, and he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. Friends, when passed the bread, we ask that you wait until all have been served. We shall then partake of it together, so signifying our unity and community as God's people in this place. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take, eat, feed on Christ in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And when passed the cup, please partake of it when you are served. We thus symbolize our solitariness as we each stand alone before our God. Let us pray. Blessed be God who calls us together, who makes us one people, who has forgiven our sin, who gives hope and freedom. Blessed be God whose word is proclaimed, who is revealed as love, who alone has called us. Accept, O God, our sacrifice of praise. Accept our thanks for all you have done. Our hands were empty, and you filled them. Amen.
Okay, church, this is your wake-up call. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. And wake up. And may the blessing of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. And let the church say, Amen.